You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Thursday, the 4th of December. I'm Stephanie Youssef filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX finished the day 0.3% higher. I'll have more on that and why interest rates could be hiked sooner than expected with Matt Washer from Morningstar a little later. But first, peak superannuation body ASFA says some Australian retirees may be facing a more modest Christmas as rising living costs push up the price of a large proportion of their budgets. The latest modelling shows the price of essentials rose faster than inflation, driven by spikes in items like electricity, food and council rates. So for a couple aged over 65, the research recommends for a comfortable retirement, they should have $76,500 each year and $54,000 for singles. For more on this, I spoke with ASFA CEO Mary Delahunty. So, Mary, the cost of a comfortable retirement is rising faster than inflation. What's driving these sharper increases for older Australians?
Retirees are feeling cost of living pressures more sharply than the general population because the budgets required for a comfortable retirement are at record levels. The main pressures are in some of the essentials retirees spend heavily on, so food, energy, property rates, health and leisure travel.
Can you remind us of what a comfortable retirement actually is?
For homeowners aged 65 and over, the annual budget needed for a comfortable lifestyle in retirement is now $76,000, around $500 a year for a couple, and $54,000 around about a year for a single. ASFA presents two sorts of budgets for people to benchmark their retirement on, a comfortable standard and a modest standard. In a comfortable retirement, we think you might want to take a couple of holidays every now and then. You want some audiovisual media services, your streaming services. You obviously need to pay your electricity bills, your property rates, and you might allow a little bit more for meals and takeaway food. Although it's a comfortable level of living, it's not everyone's cup of tea. So it is just a benchmark for people to interact with.
How concerned should retirees be heading into the Christmas period, given the significant jumps in essentials like electricity, food and council rates?
So this year, retirees will be feeling some strain. We can see that they have had to pay more for their essentials. But we also know that holiday season is a time of increased spending and retirees will want to be able to afford those certain little luxuries to give presents to people and to perhaps take holidays. There'll be strains on the budget this year. Superannuation will play a good buffer role to that strain because it adds to the pension balance. But it is a difficult time for people going into Christmas.
You've said that super is helping retirees stay financially resilient. What evidence are you seeing that super is potentially cushioning the blow of cost of living pressures?
So most Australian retirees are more financially resilient than they would be in a purely pension-based system because their super savings sit on top of the age pension, and increasingly so, people are able to rely on their super balance as well as the age pension to really give them that buffer. More and more into the future, because we've seen the superannuation guarantee rise, people will be relying more on their super and have more of a buffer between their pension and what they can spend given they've got super as well.
With super balances now at record highs and reforms like 12% guarantees and payday super coming in, how quickly can Australians expect to feel the benefits of these changes?
Recent ASFA research shows that the average super balance across Australians 15 and over is now about $172,000. So for Australians aged between 65 to 69, the average balance is around $420,000. Those numbers are higher than in previous years. So despite cost of living pressures, more and more Australians are reaching retirement with meaningful super, which is exactly what the system is designed to deliver. Over time, come Christmas periods, this will get easier and easier for retirees as they can draw down on their super.
Looking ahead to 2026 and beyond, what further improvements does ASFA believe are needed to ensure every Australian can achieve a secure and dignified retirement?
ASFA's really looking forward to being able to make sure that people can make the best of this world-class system through changes to the advice reform laws. So we want to see more people being able to access help and guidance so that they can make the most of their superannuation balances. And we look forward to working with the government to do that this year.
With retirees facing higher inflation than the general population, do you believe current government supports and policies are keeping pace with their needs?
The government's budget, like retirees' budgets, is also under strain, but we have seen the effect of the energy rebates roll off in this particular retirement standard update. So energy is one of those things that retirees don't have a choice to spend money on. We want them to be able to turn on the heater and turn on the air conditioner, but we can see it is taking more out of their budget.
And what advice do you have for people who are nearing or starting to think about retirement, who may be having some concerns over their super balance?
We always think that a superannuation is one of those sort of systems that is incredible from the outside. And then when you're in it, you're needing to make decisions for yourself, but you're not by yourself. So definitely contact your fund if you're thinking about retiring. See what systems you can put in place and see how they can help you, because often they can make good decisions for your financial future. Many people find topping up to be a good decision to take if they can particularly afford it. But obviously, that's difficult in times of cost of living crisis.
That was ASFA CEO Mary Delahunty. To the Australian share market, which has seesawed a bit today, opening higher on the back of weaker jobs data from the US, increasing confidence about interest rate cuts over there. But then it dipped after the ABS released October's household spending data, which recorded the largest rise since January last year. The ASX 200 finished the day 0.27% higher, thanks to a boost by the miners as the copper price hit a new record overnight. However, six of the 11 sectors finished in the red, led by Australian REITs. For more on all of this, I spoke with Morningstar Chief Investment Officer Matt Wayshaw. So, Matt, we've seen the ASX seesaw today. What's driving the market?
Well, it started very positive, or at least been positive territory on the back of, a reasonably good US market overnight. And also, commodity prices were pretty strong overnight as well. In fact, the S&P 500, it's only after a kind of wobbly start at the beginning of November back then, it's only now less than 0.5% away from its all-time high that it set in October there. So, that was on the back of some weaker jobs data. The ADP jobs data and kind of the US market game pricing in a potential rate cut in December. But the ASX, as you said, it has been very choppy throughout the session. Lots of ups and downs, starting positive and going quite negative at one stage. And that's really been on the back of potentially some of the data that's come out that's thrown rate cut or rate hike expectations into the mix. But I guess one of the key parts of the market, the miners have certainly been quite strong today on the back of commodity prices.
Household spending in October increased by more than double the expectations. While it's just one month's data coupled with yesterday's GDP figures and last week's CPI data, how do you think the RBA is feeling heading into next week's board meeting?
Yes, well, it certainly has been reasonably positive. I mean, inflation, higher inflation, maybe not positive, but certainly growth-focused numbers coming out. Household spending rose, 1.3% in October, which is the largest increase since January 2024. And that's actually now 5.5% or even slightly more than that than it was this time last year. And so certainly, it seems maybe that cost of living crisis is in a bit of the rear vision mirror for consumers in Australia at the moment. I guess the potential unfortunate consequence of that is that any data that is perceived to be positive is potentially also perceived to be inflationary. And while yesterday we did get a bit of relief, the GDP numbers didn't come in quite where markets were expecting, that kind of maybe eased the need for a rate hike or at least rates to or the rate cuts may have still been on the agenda. This kind of positive number today certainly brings rate cuts, or it's maybe the final nail in the coffin of rate cuts. We'll see how the data pans out, but certainly now rate rises are in the mix for the RBA.
If these upside surprises continue, do you think there could be a case for interest rate hikes next year?
Well, the market certainly does think that's the case. I think, there when I looked a little earlier today, that it was kind of now a 12% chance approximately of a rate hike priced in, or at least the markets are pricing it in, for February. And to be, maybe this isn't the greatest news for those consumers that have been out there spending, but potentially if it's been fully priced in a rate hike by November next year. And that's not necessarily our base case. We did see, as I mentioned, kind of some, GDP numbers that weren't the strongest or weren't as strong as the markets thought yesterday. However, with inflation and with spending kind of on a little bit of a mini tear there, nothing can be ruled out at this stage. Certainly rate hikes are in the mix.
It's been a year where metals have been booming. Copper prices have hit a new record high overnight amid supply concerns. Overall, it's up about more than 30% since the start of the year. How long do you think we can see this momentum go for?
Yes, if only I knew. I mean, copper prices, generally speaking, it's a pretty volatile commodity. A 30% annual move, even though it's at record or got up to record highs, it's not actually all that unusual, these kind of big moves in copper prices. And there's been a few issues, I guess, more fundamental issues that have been driving that. There's been a few mining supply issues. One of the big ones, the second largest copper mine in the world, at Freeport's mine in Indonesia, that went offline after a mudslide earlier in the year. And there's been, a number of other mines reducing their guidance. There's been another, I guess US tariffs have caused another issue, more on the supply side as well, that have squeezed prices, as some of the miners try to move to the US to avoid tariffs that are kind of on again, off again, as we might have heard. And then there's obviously the couldn't go through a discussion without talking about AI, of course. There's the whole AI infrastructure build out and data centers and those sorts of things, even electric cars. All of these things are affecting copper prices and squeezing copper prices. People are just trying to get ahead of that. So there is a lot of fundamental strength to the copper price, but easily with one Truth Social post or something along those lines, we could see this all turn around and copper prices be falling again. But certainly it's a volatile commodity.
Is there any company news catching your attention today?
Today, there's not actually all that much out. As I said earlier, the miners seem to be doing the be having the best of it today, kind of on the back of the copper story we just spoke about. The banks have really been treading water, off a little bit, but they're kind of up and down. CBA off a little bit, some of the other banks up a little bit. It's not really a great, or a huge news day for stock level news.
What are you telling your clients at the moment, and where are the opportunities for investors?
Yeah, I mean, we take a very long-term approach here at Morningstar, and so we're telling our clients, to really try and, especially 2026 is a little bit more volatile. Try and block out that noise, and focus on the long term. Don't make rash investment decisions just, on headlines, as it were. If we do get some volatility in 2026, then we're telling our clients that we will and they should use it as an opportunity to add, broadly to exposures. Where we're seeing opportunities, we think that in Australia, probably outside of the banks, there's some reasonable opportunities. Miners are still some of the miners are attractive. Energy stocks are reasonably attractive as well. And then overseas, even though emerging markets have had one of their best years since, I think, since 2009, we think there's still some value in emerging markets, and probably trying to steer away from some of the more expensive parts of the market, that AI theme. While we don't know that people should be talking about it in the sense of a bubble, certainly we can be we're being a bit cautious around that at the moment. So just making sure that we're looking for the best value out there.
That was Matt Washer, Morningstar's Chief Investment Officer. That's all for today. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.